Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jorananana Vajjana Ranjana Yashoranandana Vajjana Ranjana Natira Panachari Munatira Panachari Kayorada Madhava Punjabihari Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare.
Jai Om Vishnupad Parahamsa Parivracharya Sudarasa. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Ananta Kochi Vaishnavan. His Konfonga Charya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nama Charya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sika Ho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Jagadatta Shri Vaisri Jagadatta. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to the assembly devotees. Glory to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 19, Text 27. Dharmo Mar Bhakti Krit Prakto. Jnanam Chaikatmya Dharshanam. Guneshya Sangha Vairagyam Aishwaryam Chani Madhaya Dharma Mar Bhakti Krit Prakto Jnanam Chaikatmya Darshanam Gureshu Sango Vairagyam Aishwaryam Shanimadaya Dharmumad Bhakti Krit Prakto Jnanam Chaityatmam Darshanam Bhuneshu Asango Vairagyam Aishwaryam Shanimadaya Janam Chaitatma Darshanam Duneshu Sangha Vairagyam Aishwaryam Chaitanyam service, krit, producing, praktaha, it is declared, jnanam, knowledge, cha, also, aikatmya, the presence of the Supreme Soul, darshanam, seeing, guneshu, in the objects of sense gratification, asangha, having no interest, vairagyam, detachment, aishvaryam, opulence, cha, also, anima, the mystic perfection called anima. Adhaya, and so forth. Translation by the disciples of His Divine Grace. Actual religious principles are stated to be those that lead one to my devotional service. Real knowledge is the awareness that reveals my all-pervading presence. Detachment is complete disinterest in the objects of material sense gratification. And opulence is the eight mystic perfections, such as anima siddhi. Please repeat.
Actual religious principles
are stated to be those that lead one to my devotional service. Real knowledge is the awareness that reveals all my all-pervading presence. Detachment is complete disinterest in the objects of material sense gratification. And opulence is the eight mystic perfections, such as anima siddhi. Purport. The Supreme Lord is perfect knowledge. Thus one who has been delivered from ignorance automatically engages in the devotional service of the Lord and is called religious. One who becomes detached from the three modes of material nature and the gratificatory objects they produce is considered to be situated in detachment. The eight mystic yoga perfections described previously by the Lord to Uddhava constitute material power or opulence in the highest degree. Om Gyara Chinwanasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Sachnantan Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamaya Nadadi Swaparantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhupada Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. So, we're still with the Lord and His teachings to Uddhava. This is actually the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, but yet the conversation has been going on for quite a long time. And Uddhava has been asking very interesting questions, and the Lord has been answering. And here the Lord is speaking about dharma, jnana, vairagya, and aishvarya. Dharma is a very complex subject within the Vedic culture. The Lord actually hit the nail in the head by explaining the ultimate dharma. It's been explained that the dharma of the sun is to shine, or the dharma of the moon is to supply juice to the plants, the dharma of the parents is to take care of the children, the dharma of the husband is to protect the wife, the dharma of the wife is to protect the children, the dharma is the government to protect the people, and so forth. So what is essential in all these dharmas is service. So Lord Chaitanya explains that the ultimate service is Jivira Swarupa Hoya Krishna. We are eternal servant of Krishna, and that service is the ultimate dharma, the ultimate fulfillment of our all desires by rendering service to the Supreme Lord. But we find within the Vedic culture, dharma has a broader understanding, a broader concept. It means religion, faith, truth, morality, so many other concepts. Because as we read the Vedic literature, we find that you see that dharma has some implications in one's activity and one's life also. We hear about Varnasham Dharma, Sanatan Dharma, Bhagavad Dharma, Yoga Dharma, see, all these dharmas. And then we hear about the Dharma Shastras, like the Manu Smriti, Narad Smriti, Yajnavalka Smriti, and so forth. All these scriptures enunciate dharma. But Srimad Bhagavatam propounds the highest dharma. Dharma prajita kaitavotra paramo nimatsaranam satam. Completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated, this Bhagavad Puran propounds the highest truth. Dharma svanustita pumsam. The occupational activities a man performs are useless labor if they do not provoke the attraction for the message of Krishna. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat panitam. Real religious principles are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone could remember who said that? Real religious principles are enacted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then there was another part. You'll get it. I have a clue here. Brahma, Narada, Shiva, the four Kumaras, Kapila, Manu, Prahlada, Janak, Bhishma, Bali, Sukadeva, and myself know the real religious principles. No. Yamaraj. And this came about when the Yamadutas confronted Ajamil, and they were ready to take him to Yamaloka. And so they were ready to take this sinful guy, you know. And then the Vishnudutas intervened and said, this man has chanted the name of Narayan, see. And so he has been cleansed of all sinful reactions. And so that was interesting. And then the Yamadutas went to Dharmaraj and Yama, they were really disturbed. And then they found out that what is real Dharma. And so the Mahajans enunciate real Dharma and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this is the ultimate Dharma. But we cannot dismiss the fact that Varnashram Dharma also affects our life and leads us to the ultimate Dharma. And Varnashram Dharma is very complex and elaborate. Within the Manu Smriti, if one reads those rules and regulations, one becomes very much bewildered. Because in this age of Kali Yuga, really, we hardly know about these rules and regulations that stated here. But these are the rules and regulations that develop ones to ultimate devotional service. See? We find within the Mahabharata there were so much dharmic conflicts. For example, when Draupadi was being stripped by Dusasana, everyone was silent. Why were they silent? The Pandavas were already won by the Kauravas. Draupadi was also wagered and won by the Kauravas. Is she a slave to the Kauravas? Did they have the right to do that? So that was, and you had Mahajan Bhishma there. He is Mahajan. He enunciated the path of Dharma. Yet he was unable to answer the question. Was she a slave or not? How were they to deal with it? The Pandavas were there. They were dumbfounded. Couldn't do anything. Until Lord Krishna intervened. So here, Dharma is tested to the highest extent. Had they intervened, would they breach the concept that they're slaves now? Can a slave take in his own hand? So it was a very intricate subject. See? But of course, we know that Lord Krishna, because, but also, In another sense, you can say she is Vaishnava. She is Vaishnava. Vaishnava should be protected. But, so that was complex. And we find that throughout the Ramayana and Mahabharata, there is so much complexities about Dharma. Yudhishthira wanting to be what? The upholder of truth. He would never speak a lie. They couldn't have vanquished Dronacharya. They had to kill an elephant called Ashwatthama. And even yet then he was hesitant. Should he say yes, Dronacharya's son Ashwatthama was killed or should he deny as the upholder of truth this conflict? But so he was in a dilemma there again. See, and he eventually said, Ha, Ashwatthama died. See, the elephant. He said easily to Drona. See? Because Drona would only believe him. But immediately his chariot fell to the ground and he was moving on the earth like an earthly person. He stated before that his chariot was flying above the ground. It was not touching the earth. But then when he said that, but Srila Prabhupada commented that it was not because he uttered a lie, but because he refused Krishna's instruction, which is the higher dharma. So these are very intricate things. Shambhu wanted to gain knowledge to become a brahmana, and he started to practice austerity. Shambhu wanted to practice austerity, so he was hanging on a tree, practicing austerity. And then calamities were taking place in Ayodhya. Lord Ramachandra inquired from the sages, what's happening? Why is this so? The sage said that there's a sudra performing austerity there. He wants to become a brahmana. Within the Varnashram system or the dharma, a sudra cannot be a brahmana. You know, one has to stay within his ashram. You see? So he was breaching dharmic principle. And so Lord Ramachandra went there and immediately cut off his head. For an ordinary man, how would we see that or take that? We would say that's highly moral. See? So we see that how dharma is complex. And that's the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Vanquished the sudra because he wanted to acquire knowledge. He wanted to become a brahmana. So dharma. Ekalavya wanted to become the greatest warrior. He approached Dronacharya, why did he become the great Sarcha? But Dronacharya refused him, saying that he only vowed to train the princes, and so he cannot do that. Ekalava made a murti of Dronacharya and practiced, and he became very proficient. He was as powerful as Arjuna in the wield of weapons. So when Arjuna was made aware of this, he approached Dronacharya and said that you promised to make me the greatest warrior on the face of the earth. Why is this so? And so Dronacharya approached Ekalavya and says, give me Guru Dakshin, take off your finger. So is that, from our standpoint, is that right? That seems to be very immoral, right? I mean, one person wants to become a great warrior and then he's been impeded there. But he was a Nishada. See? Nishada is like a fisherman, right? How can a fisherman become a Kshatriya like that? See? So there are so many complexities in the Varnashram Dharma. These are all enunciated within the Manu Smriti, Narad Smriti, Yajnavalka Smriti, and so forth. But Lord Krishna, when he came, he said, Sarva Dharman Pratyaja, Mami Kansharanam Vraja, Aham Tom Sarva Papi Moksha Yasmasuch. Give up all these dharmas. Give up all these so-called dharmas and surrender unto me. I shall free you from sinful reactions. You see? So because Dharma is wide and elaborate, then the practitioner can actually become somewhat confused. And especially at the end of Dwapara. From the beginning Dwapara. The beginning of Treta Yuga, Varnashram Dharma started, and it was easy for the practitioners to follow it. But as the age wanes from Treta Yuga to Dwapara Yuga, then it becomes very complicated, and more rules and regulations were added, and so it became very, very complex. And so the Lord, at the end of Dwapara Yuga, when he came, you know, then he enunciated, Yada yada hi dharmasa ghanir bhavati bharata. Whenever and wherever there is, a decline in dharma, in religious principles, I attend myself. See, so at that time, the dharmic principles has waned. And so the Lord, Adharma bihavat Krishna pradyushyanti kulashriya. Arjuna is said that when a dharma takes place, the opposite of dharma is a dharma. When a dharma takes place, then what happens? Irreligion steps in. And when irreligion steps in, the women become polluted. And when women become polluted, what happens? Comes unwanted progeny. So how can I fight this war? How can I fight this war? We're going to create a dharma. Huh? Killing all these warriors and so forth. The women would be left unprotected. What would happen? So Arjuna was given all his explanation not to follow Krishna. The very first verse in Bhagavad Gita, Dharma Chetra Kuru Chetra. Dharma, the land of dharma, the field of righteousness, this battle will take place. Dhritarashtra was bewildered to some degree because in this land of righteousness, his unrighteous son cannot prevail. His unrighteous son would never prevail. See? Because Dharma Chetra, see, that's the field of Kuru Chetra would uphold Dharma and the righteous would prevail. See? And so we see that all these implications in Dharma becomes very complex. See? It's stated also that there's dharma of the body, dharma of one's word, dharma of one's mind. The body should uphold dharma, be non-violent, been peaceful, so forth. The speech should be truthful, see, pleasant, like that. The mind should be compassionate, good intention to others. See? So we see all these dharmas are there. And dharma is used in so many ways within Vedic culture. But ultimately, Lord Krishna says, give up all of these dharma and surrender unto me. Vasudeva paru dharma, Vasudeva paragati. Religion, dharma, is rendering love and service unto him. He is the supreme goal of life. Tashrada dhana munayo jnana vairagya yuktayo. The serious student equipped with knowledge and detachment realizes the absolute truth by rendering service unto him. So the ultimate dharma is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even though these other dharmas are somewhat essential for our journey towards ultimate Krishna consciousness, then at the call of Krishna, then we may have to give up those. See, we may have to give up those. Yudhishthira should have given up truthfulness to follow Krishna's instruction. So that's the meaning of Sarva Dharman Parityaja, give up all these different dharmas and ultimately surrender unto me, because that's our true dharma, rendering service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead and following His instructions. Then the other point was jnana. And jnana is said, real knowledge, the awareness that reveals my all-pervading presence. What is stated, maya tatamidam sarvam, by me in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. Maya tatamidam sarvam, in my unmanifested form, this whole world is pervaded. Pitahamasya jagato, I am the father of the universe, the mother, the support, the grandchild. I am the object of knowledge. Aham hi sarva jagnanam, or yagnanam. I am the only enjoyer, the master of sacrifices. Nami vidu suraghana, neither the host of demigods nor the great sages know my origin. Aham sarvasya prabhu, I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Yachapi sarva bhutanam, I am the generated seed of all existence. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam, know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring but a spark of my splendor. Atava bahunaitena, what need for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support the whole universe. So these, here Krishna is telling us about his all-pervading nature, how he pervades and controls the whole world, how he is the supreme. He is the seed of all existence. So this is real knowledge, knowing how the supreme controls the whole universe. Then he speaks about detachment, vairagya. See, stated vairagya, detachment, and it stated that real detachment is complete disinterest in the objects of material sense gratification. Complete disinterest in material sense gratification. And Bhagavad Gita says, Karmendriyani samyamya ya aste manasa smaran. One who restrains his senses of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. One who restrains the senses of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. So for example, when one takes to the renounce path, then one has to work with his way up to free himself from all these material attractions and attachment, giving up of lust and so forth, greed, anger, and all these avarice. And then the last point he said that opulence, Aishvarya, opulence. But this one is difficult to understand. The eight mystic yoga perfections described previously by the Lord to Uddhava constitute material power, opulence, in the highest degree. See, and we know that earlier he taught Uddhava the eight mystic perfections. Anima, but one wonders, because sometimes when Yudhisthira was asked by Dhamraj, what's real opulence? And Dhamraj says, one who has knowledge of the Supreme Lord, one who has Gyan. But here the Lord says, one who has perfected the mystic cities. So I wonder, well, if this is because they can use these perfections in the service of the Lord. For example, we know that Hanuman has mastered all these mystic cities, and he used them in the service of the Lord. Smaller than the smallest, when he went to Lanka, he made himself very small. In fact, when he was going to Lanka, when he was being swallowed by that crocodile or something, he made himself small and then came through the nostril, right, like that. And then when he went to Lanka too, then he had to make himself very small and then escape the deity of Lanka that was protecting Lanka. See, so we've seen Hanuman used the mystic cities to serve the Lord. Garuda also had these mystic cities, and he used it in the service of the Lord. So then Mahima become greater than the greatest. See? Greater than the greatest. Laghima, lighter than the lightest. And we see the Hanuman jump over the ocean, flew. Prapti, acquire whatever one wants. Whatever one wants, prapti. Prakamya, experiences any enjoyable object. Ishthita, manipulates Maya potencies. Vashita, bring others to one's control. And Kama Vatsayita, obtain anything from anywhere to the highest degree. Obtain anything anywhere to the highest degree. See? Those are really powerful opulence. So when one has that, anything is possible. Kardama Muni, when he married Devahuti, he created a whole palace in the air, right? A flying palace to satisfy her. See, and we've seen that so many. I think Chaivana Muni, when he married the 50 princes, he created a whole kingdom of opulence. So I can see, the Lord says, that one who has perfected the 8 mystic cities, you know, has real opulence. And if one serves the Lord, then he gets all these mystic cities and all these opulences also. Hanuman, they came easily. Garuda, they came easily. And I showed you all the devotees. You know, Yudhishthira had mystic cities. Arjuna had mystic cities. See, all of these personalities. So these are some thoughts on this verse here. I'll stop here if there's any question or comment. Prabhu Ji Ramanya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Just wondering, if you're talking Dharma, then would we have to analyze and say that Bhishma was following his Dharma to protect the Kaurava dynasty, yet it appeared he was acting against the direction of Krishna. And yet at the same time, then Krishna accepted him. Can you explain what
that is? Yes, that's also a complex subject with Bhishma. He had vowed, Bhishma had vowed to protect the Kaura dynasty. And the Kaura dynasty was handed down to him by Shantanu, his father. So as he had helped his father to get Satyavati and so forth, but he had vowed to protect the Kaurava dynasty. In fact, he did not want it to be split into the Kaurava and the Pandava dynasty. And so the real heir of the Kaurava dynasty was not Dhritarashtra, but it was Pandu. You see? The real heir to the Kaurava dynasty was Pandu. But then it was being usurped by Duryodhana. See? Because of Duryodhana's greed and his wickedness. Right, it was being usurped by him, and so Bhishma had still vowed to protect the Kaura dynasty. He did not want to see it vanquished. That was his vow, and so he remained with the Kauravas. He would fight for the Pandavas, but he vowed that he would not kill the Pandavas. He would not vanquish the Pandavas. You see? He said he would take up arms, he would fight against the army, because that's the dharma of the Kshatriya. The Kshatriya dharma is to take up arms and fight, and this was a battle called for. But at the same time, but he knew, Bhishma knew that the Pandavas were protected by Krishna. And he knew that they cannot die. And he knew that, Bhishma knew everything. He knew what would happen. In fact, had Bhishma gone to the other side, then the Kauravas would not have wanted to wage that war, you know, because Bhishma was the foremost warrior there. See? Bhishma was the foremost warrior. And Bhishma knew Krishna plan. Bhishma knew Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. He preached that to Yudhishthira. He says that Krishna's come in every yugas, but in this yuga he comes as the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. See? So he knew that really. And then at the end, Krishna went to Bhishma and took Yudhishthira to Bhishma and said, You explain to Yudhishthira dharma, varnasham dharma, and you know dharma on the old. Why? He said, if I were to speak dharma, it would not add to my opulence, and it would not add anything to me. But if you speak it to Yudhishthira, then you will be remembered throughout the world for this. I am already Supreme Personality of Godhead. See? So even though it may seem contradictory to us, it's bewildering to us that Bhishma took to the side of the Kauravas, but he understood fully his position as the servant of Krishna. See? And everyone's position. Yes, we have Mataji there.
I have another question, but on the line of this question. In the purports there, Srila Prabhupada does state that Krishna arranged, it was another arrangement of Krishna that Bhishma was on the Kaurava side, because to show that even if one has the most qualified warrior on their side, they but not on Krishna's side, they will not become victorious. So only if you're on Krishna's side will you be victorious.
Yes, definitely. That's true, because Bhishma was invincible. Bhishma even fought with the demigods. He fought with the incarnation Parshuram. Bhishma was supremely powerful. Bhishma was so powerful that he could have annihilated the whole Pandava army. See, but like you said, you know, Krishna, wherever Krishna and Arjuna is, yata, how the verse go? Wherever Krishna and Arjuna is, there is victory, morality, and opulence. Yeah, so wherever Krishna is, there will be victory. No one could defeat. And even though the great warrior Bhishma was on the other side, still it shows he was not able to come out victorious. You see? And then we see how Krishna was assisting his devotees. Arjuna. Karna was actually more powerful than Arjuna. See? Karna was supremely powerful. But because Arjuna was on the side of Krishna, or Krishna was on his side, you see. Yeah, Janamashi, one more point?
I have another question. I was reflecting on this point, how, you know, Krishna appears when Adharma is prominent. So he appeared with Lord Chaitanya, and I'm thinking, I mean, things are even worse than when 500 years ago. So what are you doing? You know, so then I'm thinking, oh, didn't Prabhupada say that Krishna appeared in the womb of ISKCON?
Yes.
And does he mean the holy name? Or how is that?
Yes, well, he has appeared in the holy name, and he appeared in Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam would shed light and give protection to the in this darkness of Kali Yuga. And of course in the holy name, so there's shelter all the time there. But we can see from the time of Lord Krishna to the time of Lord Chaitanya, or even to the time now, how things have deteriorated. You see, things have been deteriorated so much. The whole Varna ashram system has actually gone to extinct. You see, there's residue of Varna ashram within India, you know, but it's been somewhat corrupted, you know. But Varna ashram system. In Treta Yuga, when it was established, Varna ashram was in the whole world. The whole world was followed. Europe, Americas, Africa, everywhere were following Varna ashram. Africa, I'm not too certain, but of course, to some degree, there must have been Varnashram system, because it's stated that another word for Dharma is Rita, you see? And I was thinking Aprita. Aprita came from the word Rita, you see, against Dharma, you know, like that. But anyhow, the whole world was following Dharma, Varnashram Dharma. And then eventually it subsided onto to Bharatvarsha, you know, and so forth, really. Yeah, but look how thing has deteriorated now. Look at this stage, how thing has deteriorated. And so that's why it's important to also read the scriptures. It's very fundamental for us to study scriptures and understand what it says. There's within the Manusmriti too, so much things are liberated. Duty of Brahmana, Kshatriyas and so forth. Duties of women are explained there also. See? And Bhishma and Yudhishthira spoke about women, dharma, within the Mahabharata also. And explains what would happen, and it explains in Kali. And so we as Vaishnavas, then we should understand these principles and teach it to the younger generation. Because they're bewildered, completely caught up with this illusion of this world and this fantasy. This world is governed solely by lust and greed. See? But the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement should enlighten themselves, educate themselves, and then give it to others also, to the children. They don't hardly know anything. And even within ISKCON now, the youngsters, they're even hardly attending the programs and so forth, even when they have time, you see. So we have to really do something about that. Janmashtami Prabhu.
I can't remember from Nectar of Devotion, but there was this particular ras that Bhishma had with Krishna when he forced Krishna to get off the chariot and break his own vow and fight, you know, because he was about ready to kill Arjuna. Was it ghastly ras?
Pardon me?
Chivalry.
That was the chivalrous rasa, yeah. He says that I'm going to kill Arjuna, and in order to do so, Krishna would have to intervene. Right? Krishna would have to intervene, and so Bhishma was so dynamic that day. He was so powerful that even Arjuna was shivering sometime. When he hit him with his arrows. And Krishna was noticing, and Krishna was saying, "What's going on, Arjuna? You know? You're not fighting with your whole heart." And Arjuna loved Bhishma too, also. Arjuna loved Bhishma, and he never wanted to fight with him wholeheartedly. Even in Dronacharya, he never wanted to. It's only through Krishna, but Krishna knows the whole picture, that this war has to take place and everything. But Arjuna did not want to fight with Bhishma. He did not want to fight with Dronacharya. Even with Ashwatthama to some degree too, he did not. You know? But, yeah. Anyhow.
In that past time, when Krishna gets off with the chariot to prevent Bhishma from killing Arjuna, it demonstrates how Krishna values the vow of the devotee more than his own.
Yes, yes.
This is also evidence of the pure devotional service of Bhishma.
Yeah. Ma Suchaha, I would give you full protection. Once you surrender to me, then I would give you full protection at all costs. So he took his chariot wheel and he's running to vanquish Bhishma. That was such a beautiful scene. And Bhishma says, come, O Lord, take my life now. You know, it was such a wonderful scene. It's beautiful. Any other point? Yes, Prabhuji.
I was also wondering, you know, Ekalavya, you said he wanted to become the greatest warrior. But we see in the case of Karna, he was a great warrior, but he wasn't accepted until he actually had a kingdom. And how could he be accepted by other, you know, Kshatriyas?
That was also an unfortunate position of Karna. I mean, there's a sad position even when you read it, really, because Karna was the son of Kunti. Only Kunti knew that he was her son. But when he ran into the arena and he took part there, he equaled Arjuna in all feats, and they were about to fight. But Kripacharya said that only princes fight with princes. Who are you? And then the charioteer, what's his name?
Radhea?
Not Radhea. What was the charioteer name? He ran across the battlefield and he said, "My son, my son." And when Bhima saw that, Bhima started to ridicule Karna. This is you are a charioteer and you want to fight with Arjuna, you know? You remember the name? Adirat. Yeah. You see, but we know that Karna was supremely powerful. He was trained by Parshuram. The way Karna, we understand he took the side of Duryodhana. And that was why he took the side of Duryodhana, because everyone ridiculed him. And Duryodhana says, can't you distinguish a lion from a deer? This man here has exhibited the chivalry of a lion. How can you call him a deer? You know, I make him king of anger. And he became Angaraj. You see? And then now he could fight with Arjuna. But then it got late and then they stopped it really. But that also made Karna become supremely faithful to Duryodhana. I mean, even though he knew. But also Karna knew that righteousness would win. He knew the Pandavas would win. You know, all of that. He knew, you know, I mean. But because he gave his word to Duryodhana, you know, like that. Yeah. So these are the intricacies of Dharma here too.
What was the hope Ekalavya could achieve a position of prominence?
You mean why he couldn't?
Now, even if he was powerful as a warrior, no one would accept him.
Yeah, he would not be accepted really because he's Nishada. Nishada. So that's what I'm saying. Varnashram has its complexities. You know, you're a Sudra, then, you know. But if within the Shudra family a son is born and he shows the qualities of a Brahmana, he should be accepted. When Yamraj accosted Yudhishthir, when Yamraj was interrogated Yudhishthir, he asked who is a true Brahmana. He said, it's not by birth, but by qualities and behavior. And if a Shudra shows the symptoms, then he should be accepted like that. You see? So, okay, we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.